Presidents' Cups about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But you never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? Do you smell that? Football is coming back. Our very own Manchester United should be playing in less than 2 weeks. Knock on wood. But things are promising, sir. Full steam ahead. Football is coming back.
12 days, Friday night, under the lights against, you know what, Spurs. The professional bottlers, Jose Mourinho, the greatest troll in all of English Premier League, sir. I can't wait to smoke him.
Smoke him, indeed. You know, I think we had the fortune was on our side right before the season got paused. And I think even now, you know, the boys look fit. Knock on wood, no injuries yet. It's going to be the big question mark. You know, if we could stay fit on this last push, that's going to be huge. That's going to really be everything. So hopefully the run up to the game, we don't see any injuries as they come back and get more and more contact and get ready for it. But poof, it's going to be quiet like it usually is, I imagine, in Tottenham Stadium before they name it something else, right? That new stadium that's just, what do they owe? $800 million on it?
Yeah, a little less than a billion. But I mean, new stadium for Tottenham. Shame no one can go. No one goes anyway. I've been to the old White Hart Lane. It was a dump. They definitely needed a new stadium. You know, it was a dump of all dumps, if you can imagine. It kind of fit Spurs, actually. Fit their form. But they have a bunch of players coming back. We have a bunch of players coming back. Pogba, Rashford, to name a few. I mean, it's going to be crazy to see how the lads come out of the gate to perform. But again, a big match for United right out of the gate with top four implications, right?
It's true. It's like the biggest test, at least for the league matches that are left, is the first one and the last one, you know, playing Spurs away. I think it's going to be a little bit easier. And I think the advantage is now on us that they're going to be in an empty Spurs stadium versus having one full of fans, even with the loud Manchester United away fans. And then at the end, Leicester City. That's going to be a big game. You know, I think in between them, we've got some pretty favorable fixtures, if you think about it. But those two matches will be big tests. And we're starting with big tests because Jose is going to want to get an upper hand. He's going to get some revenge from earlier in the season when we beat them. Obviously the famous head pat game. When Ole patted Jose's head on the way out of
Old Trafford. It was a rub.
Whatever it was, I liked it. I want to see more of that from Ole. But this is a massive game. Huge game, not just because we haven't seen football for 3 months, but also because the boys got to go marching on, 11 games unbeaten, and we got to keep that streak going.
The William Hill odds makers, they have it. Manchester United to win plus 155. Tottenham to win plus 175. The draw plus 240. Manchester United to win outright. Favorites there just a smidge over Tottenham. The bookies kind of calling the coin flip. Somebody's going to win. It's kind of what's the line saying? What do you think about those odds?
I like those odds for United. I think those odds are going to shift as hopefully they put some wins together and get some momentum. But it's a good chance to pick up some pretty favorable odds because I would imagine as we get closer to the game, they're going to flip more towards United. So any bettors out there? I'm not an expert. Don't listen to me, but hey, I can throw some money that way.
Okay, I'll tell you what. First goal scorer in the match who's the odds-on favorite to score for either team?
Marcus Rashford.
Marcus Rashford plus 350. You got that. Hit the nail on the head, sir.
Who else, bro? Who else?
Rashford, a tie. It's a tie between Anthony Martial, Odion Ighalo, hashtag Ighalo FC, and Harry Kane. Harry Kane. So, like, United, Ighalo is rated to score before Harry Kane, as the bookies have it. Son plus 550. Dele Alli plus 600.
What's Bruno or Pogba? They have them?
We have Bruno Fernandes plus 600, Mason Greenwood plus 500, Pogba plus 900. I love that wager.
That's a good one.
If I was in the UK and there was a William Hill near me, I might put a little money on Paul Pogba to score coming back. I mean, he's got to be starting. He's hungry. He's playing against Mourinho. We all know what gets Paul Pogba for a match, trophies or just
revenge.
Hate
revenge. And nothing would make him feel better than sticking it to Mourinho. I don't remember actually, sir. We replayed the game. Did Pogba play in that game? We played them early in the season, but he's always looking out for revenge.
No, he's not. Pogba has not played that often this season.
No, he hasn't. So it's hard.
Seven matches, not even starting if you count them. So he's pretty much been a ghost. But to have him back, it's going to be interesting to see how he plays these last nine games. I hope he's motivated. I hope he isn't yogging around like Everton, 4-0.
I don't think he will be. You know, I think there's a new attitude at the team, partly because of the injection of some new personalities, which have been for the positive, and partly because of the uptick in form, right? When we go through this season recap, it's ups and downs. It was a brutal season, honestly. But the last 10 games were, you know, a nice change from what it's been like. We saw some consistency. I was out without Pogba, was without Rashford. So having those players in the mix, I think they're going to feed off the positive energy at the club and what Bruno is bringing around, because, you know, they did 11-11 at Old Trafford and they were playing against each other. It was Pogba versus Bruno, because they're seen as kind of the two big personalities, big leaders at the club. So I think it's going to bring the best out of them. I think there's going to be everyone's going to be all about winning again, because that's what United used to be about, you know, that diehard attitude. Hopefully we see that again.
I hope so. You know, everything, I think all the good juju, all the Manchester United fans, you know, hoping for that, we're not hoping for coal in our stocking from Paul Pogba. We hope that he comes back motivated. He re-signs that extension. He doesn't want to leave. We go on to win Champions League, a couple Premier League titles. Paul Pogba, you know, one of the all-time greats, goes down. But you know what? I'm not Paul Pogba, so I can't guarantee that, sir. At the end of the day, quick PSA for the podcast before we jump into the season recap. We have a great blog, AmericanRedDevils.com. Alex, editor-in-chief, doing a great job. Shout out to all the contributors to date. If you want to help the podcast, the best thing you can do is write a review on iTunes. We are giving away an American Red Devils hoodie. I'm wearing it right now. It's got our badge logo. It's completely fresh. Champion, that's the only way to do it. If you want to win one, we're giving away one hoodie before Manchester United kickoff. So that's right. You only have 12 days left to get a review in. We'll be picking a winner and shipping out a Manchester United badge logo hoodie. And if you want to also support the podcast, you can check out our store, AmericaRedDevils.com. Click on store. We have some Glazers Out scarves. Those have been selling ever since we've been posting how much money the Glazers are stealing from the club. We'll take a break on that front this week. We'll be back next week with some Glazers Out. But we have some awesome scarves and hoodies, obviously. So what do you make, sir?
A lot to talk about. You know, we're doing a lot of good stuff, trying to keep the American Red Devils train a-moving, but football is back, and it's. I don't think it's ever been a better time to be a Manchester United fan. In the last 5 years, you know, it's like sentiment's high, everything to play for. Not just, you know, there's no league. You know, usually we'd have leagues to play for and fight for, Champions League to fight for. But this is like, you know, the baby steps of getting our stuff back together, finishing firmly in the top four. Hopefully, finishing. We should try and finish with an FA Cup and a Europa League, and just let people know that like Manchester United's on the up. You know, Pogba's not going anywhere. No one's going to be paying $100 million. The real question is, are we going to be spending $100 million? Because there's one player, and one player only, that we should be trying to get, and that's Jadon Sancho. And obviously, you know, people talk about Chelsea, Werner. They're making moves. They got money. I don't know. Do United have money? I don't think so.
Not a lot of it. They can get it. The question is, do they want to dilute their investment to do so? Again, I'll be doing some balance sheet analysis, getting into that next week. I'll be posting another article on how much cash we really have for next summer. But again, hashtag Glazers Out, hashtag Sack Woodward. They've run this club into the ground. Has to go before we jump into football. You got to say that. But you're right. Ups and downs all around, sir. Going through the season recap, it was kind of crazy. It's like to think about last summer, no pandemic, talking about transfers, then to go all the way through the, you know, fits and starts, ups and downs. And then Bruno comes in, changes the game. I mean, like, for me, just on the outset, coming back makes me really nervous because there's so much, like you said it, I expect everything to just click right away. But it's almost like the football gods are going to determine what clicks. The ball bounces this way, hits the post. You know, we just need that big win against Tottenham to start it off. And I think all the juju will start flowing again. But you get a tough loss, tough decision. VAR goes against you against Tottenham. And then, you know, they start looking down the barrel of like, are we going to make top four or not? You know, so I really think this Tottenham game is too much too soon as a fan. It just makes me too nervous because they're playing for everything, playing for getting that mojo back, playing for top four at the end of the day.
Sir, I wouldn't change our first opponent for all the gold in the world, mate. I mean,
how dare you?
Blockbuster stuff. I want it all day. Friday night. Are you kidding me? Like, I know it's gonna be noon here on the West Coast, but in the East Coast, 3 p.m. People are gonna be having a couple pints. I think we might be having a couple pints because who else do you start off a weekend with of Premier League football than Manchester United? Of course, whoever they're playing, but against Spurs, even better. It's gonna be a big game. A lot of history, right? Us versus Jose. But at the end of the day, it's like we're the better team. We have a better squad. Not coming with everybody fit, but we should go out there and dominate Spurs. We're a much better team.
You don't think the break is gonna cost us at all whatsoever?
I actually don't, because it's gonna affect every club equally, and it's gonna be the clubs that are the most prepared, with the players with the most discipline, that took break the most seriously and stayed fit. And like everything I'm seeing at United is they look fit, ready to rock, and are ready to play. And there's competition every single position on that field. I think the boys know what it means to try and have a winning mentality, and I'm very bullish. Bye, bye, bye. I'm buying Manchester United, sir.
I'm very bullish on Bruno and Pogba in the midfield. I mean, first of all, Bruno came back fitter. I know that he is just like the dedication he has is just unbelievable. Harry Maguire is the captain, but you know, Bruno, he's already showing captain material. You know, the tide raises all boats, and he's just showing just like heart and dedication, like, you know, like Manchester United deserves, like we deserve for the longest period of time. And I really hope he's kind of the fire, that he can light the fire under everyone's ass, including Paul Pogba, get back to winning. Because, I mean, we could just win all nine games if Bruno really takes the reins, right?
No, it's true. And it's, you know, this, I think, you know, there's been silver linings to everything that's been going on. A lot of horribleness has gone on over the last 3 months. Talk about real stuff, you know, outside of football. But the one good thing is delving back into the history of this club and looking about all the things that have happened. And there have been these kind of transformational signings, right, that defined eras at United. Dennis Law coming in for Busby was huge, kind of like just was the last piece of the puzzle. Same in many ways for Eric Cantona with the early years with Fergie, and just needed that like last bit of creativity. Pogba, unbelievable player, and we have a lot of strong players at the club. But I think Bruno, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but Bruno feels like he's just like that last piece of the puzzle and just has the right attitude, the right mix of swagger and ability on the pitch that I think he's bringing the best out of players. And that's why you're seeing an uptick. And that's why I'm so optimistic about the boys when they come back, just ready to go.
Yeah, it's almost the intangible. Like you said, it's like it's almost the mental, fortitude, confidence, how aggressive he is. The will to win, the desire to win at any cost. I think he has all of that, right? And I think, you know, Harry Maguire steps on the pitch, I don't know if he has that, you know? And so it's almost like the intangibles Bruno brings to the locker room is kind of, you know, he yelling at Dan James, like, hey, why aren't you making that run? Like, game two. You know, I love that.
<It's> true.
He's like, I own this park. It's like, that's how you have to play. And all the quotes coming out, I mean, we could talk about Bruno, how much we like Bruno all day, but... We have a season recap to get to. We're going to start at the beginning, sir. Summer transfers. This is in 2019, if you remember. Summer of 2019, we started out. Brought in Dan James, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Harry Maguire. You and me both rated we rated this window pretty good. I would say, you know, what grade would you give that?
I think if you look at the whole body of transfers, including January, it's been pretty good. But the summer wasn't great because you didn't shore up the front at all.
It was like a C. We needed attacking creativity.
Need at least, right? A striker to replace Lukaku, at the very least, yep. Right? You needed that loan deal for Igalo earlier. And everybody was calling out for a burnout because we needed more creativity in the side. But at the very minimum, they needed to get another striker, in my mind.
And you end up signing Bruno anyway. So if you bring him in earlier, it could help us out quite a bit. On the leave side, obviously, Smalling went to Roma on loan. Lukaku, Sanchez. Lukaku went on our permanent deal. We actually sold him for less than we bought him. Sanchez, we're paying him to play at Inter. Dean Henderson went to Sheffield United. Obviously, he had a cracking season since then. Darmian went to Parma for basically nothing. Lost a lot of money there. Eddie, you're losing money left and right. Herrera, we released him, and Valencia basically retired. So, like you said, that out list pretty long, that in list pretty tight. Ole had work to do, and you know what? I'll give Ole credit because he didn't come out hemming and hawing in the press like Mourinho would have, right?
Nope, so he certainly essentially, did not.
Ole is doing the board's bidding. Ole, Mr. Nice Guy. We start out August. You and me went into San Francisco, football pub, had a few pints, wore the Glazers out shirts, Chelsea versus Manchester United, the opener, 4-0. We all know how that went. Absolutely running riot, sir. Dan James gets his goal. I mean, we were chanting at the Chelsea fans, just crying. They're crying at the bar. Grown men, absolutely in tears. It was great.
Rashford with the early goal, with an early pen. He's had the brace. Martial with the goal and James with the late one. It was terrific. We were outnumbered at the bar like 40-1, but we were cheering louder than they were, and we had more to cheer about. And they were like, "Oh, wait till the return fixture," and we got the best of them too. So. The big games, man, this kind of like speaks to the season, this first month, because we played well against the big games, and then we kind of, you know, you can go to the Crystal Palace game, sir.
Yeah, no, should we talk about that Dan James opening goal? Absolutely. He opens his account.
Started off on a hot note, sir. Here we go.
Martial, Pogba, brilliant. Away he goes. Pogba, back comes Kovacic. Pogba, James, Dan James, dream debut, Daniel James, he will never forget this moment.
Dream debut, sir, what a goal from Dan James to just rub it in 4-0 against the Chelsea scum.
What a moment for Dan James coming in, the Welshman, young lad, gets a sub, we're killing him. This is kind of like out of Fergie's book, you know, you're beating Chelsea 3-3, get the kid in there. He gets his goal, give him that confidence, that boost. But, you know, if you remember, Dan James, he went on to score 3 goals in 4 games and won Manchester United Player of the Month. He came out red hot in August and, you know, proved to be a goal-scoring machine, right? And for a youngster, he's not really going to hit that consistency. He did come off the bench a few times for United, but I would say, hey, thanks, Ryan Giggs. Thanks for that one, right?
No, it's a good pickup. It's the type of signings that United's known for, right? Like an astute pick up a deal on the cheap from a championship level player, young, a lot of upside. And I think Dan James has faced far too much criticism given what's been expected of him this season, right? He came in, should be a squad player, but because of the lack of depth and the fact that we didn't move on players in the summer, he's expected to start. And I think all things considered, he's done well. 6 assists in the league, which is ahead of a lot of players with much bigger names and name tags associated with them. So he's a great option to have. I think when we bring in, hopefully, Sancho this summer. He's a great squad player, and I think he will only get better.
Don't count on it, sir.
I wouldn't.
Obviously, in the league, you're right. We beat Chelsea, big win. Then we drew Wolves away. You know, Wolves are kind of our kryptonite. We haven't really been able to show that we're better than them. Crystal Palace at home, we lost 2-1. Dan James scoring late. I believe the story was Dan James celebrated that goal at Old Trafford, right? And everyone was like, you don't celebrate when you're losing OT. But I think that was a little bit of criticism came his way for that one. And then Southampton, away we drew. James was the only goal there. So, I mean, Dan James, like, without him, we would have been down. 4 games, 5 points, ending 7th place in the table. You beat Chelsea. You lose to Crystal Palace. You're drawing Wolves and Southampton. Out of the gate, not great for Manchester United. I mean, this was a tough month altogether.
It was a tough month, and I think it was like didn't seem as bad as it was because we beat Chelsea 4-0 to open the season. So we kept thinking back to like, oh, this team's good. Just didn't even figure their shit out. But
Chelsea were bad too. They had the transfer ban, Lampard's first season. So it's not like you were like Chelsea were really like had figured it out by that point, right? The first game's kind of a coin toss, similar to like coming back against Tottenham, in my opinion.
No, it's true. And I think it was a big performance for us, but you would have liked them to keep that momentum going. And like you said, wasn't that much to gain from in that August period.
September, we're going to say tough seas at hand for Ole's ship. He's at the wheel. The boats are rocking, sir. in the league, we played three. It was not that type of rocking, sir. In the league, we played 3 games. Leicester City, we beat them at home with that Rashford penalty. That was like a prayer of a pen. You know, we barely deserved that win. I mean, Leicester, that was a strong Leicester team. I remember that we almost didn't deserve that. West Ham United, away, we lost 2-0. Smoked brutal. By West Ham.
Brutal.
Arsenal at home drew 1-1. We finished in 10th at the table, and this is the same place we finished as we did under Mourinho from last September. So, you know, we get rid of Mourinho, bring in these players, and we're in the same spot, pretty much treading water in the league at least. 10th place, tough times for Manchester United. So you know, that's kind of an indictment there. You're like, you're not winning the league. You're not, you know, top 4 maybe.
This team doesn't look that good, right? Didn't look that good. Where the goals coming from? Look shaky at defense, right? Giving up two goals at West Ham with a $80 million Harry Maguire in the back. So it was rocky going at the beginning of the season. I just, you know, I think back to that Chelsea game, but September wasn't great, right? Talk about the Dale. That was a tough day as well.
I mean, like another Dale. Like we drew the Dale. Greenwood gets the goal. We advance on penalties in the EFL Cup. I mean, we did. Hey, look, we started Europa League. We beat Borod FC at home. I mean, that's to be expected. Player of the month, Scotty McSauce. And this is one of those player of the months where like he didn't even score. They're just like he just played.
He played was, better like, than others.
It was a bad month. It was a bad month. It's just like, you get one. You get a player of the month, Scotty McSauce. But hey, look, if you were to give it to anyone kind of in a default month, McTominay, my man.
You can't fault McTominay. He's got heart for days and he's got a great work ethic. And he's a hell of a player. He gets better every season. So it'll be good to have him back. He's another player that like was out for injuries, and then now he's an option for Ole.
But we also have to talk about in August, right? Martial was injured against Crystal Palace, and he pulled his hammy. He's out for 2 months. So if you look at September, we don't have any Martial. I know Pogba went down as well in that time frame. So this is kind of when the injuries start piling up, the narrative around, hey, you know, we've got a lot of injuries. That maybe that's the reason why Manchester United aren't playing so well. You got to talk about the injuries as part of it. Moving on to October. Tough times at the time. Don't know what the Tyne is. That's just what you call North England, sir.
I think it's a river.
It's a river of the Tyne. So. Tough times at the Tyne. Well, they call it the Tyne Derby. You know, I don't know. Hard to say.
Is it Sunderland, Newcastle?
You like the Tyne River?
I love the Tyne River. Big fan.
Floating in the Tyne River.
It's like the Riviera.
Things didn't get better in October. And this is like one of those things where I remember where I was watching these games. It's tough. Three games, 4 points. Newcastle away. We lost 1-0. I was watching it in the airport. United dropped to 12th. I mean, this is when, you know, basically Ole came to his players after Newcastle. We have the headline right here: Manchester United to sack Ole Gunnar Solskjaer if they lose to Norwich. Right, basically the board coming out, they're saying Ole's on the chopping block after this Newcastle loss. We played Liverpool at home, we drew. Right, that was kind of like a glimmer of hope. We drew with a Rashford goal, and then it was that Norwich City away game where they basically said if Ole doesn't beat Norwich. Norwich, I believe is the right way to say it.
Norwich.
Then he's out.
Well, let's hear what Ole had to say after that Newcastle win, which was an ugly one. Excuse me, that Newcastle loss. If it was a win, I think his attitude would be a little different. Let's hear what he has to say.
Very symptomatic of where we are at the moment. Disappointing, as you say. We don't create enough chances to deserve to win a game of football. And that's the short version. First half, I couldn't see that one coming before the game because it was such a disappointing performance first half. The balls, we seemed like we couldn't control it. It seemed like it was a hot potato and it was bouncing off our feet. Second half was better, dominated more, but you can still see a couple of counterattacks come in. Especially just before the goal as well, trying to organize the team. Because you did see how they set up. Then the attitude is fantastic to get back. I think we got seven players in the box, six or seven. But we just, decision making wasn't good enough and we couldn't block the shot and defend it well enough.
So no creativity, can't defend.
Yeah, no. And when it came to, I mean, only Mr. Nice Guy, I mean, he should be sweating in that presser. Looking at that lineup, interesting enough, Rashford leading the line, Mata in the hole at number 10, Pereira on the right wing, Dan James on the left, McTominay, Fred in the midfield, Maguire, Twanzebe, center back pairing, actually, Dalot at right back, Young at left back. So not the worst United team. Clearly Pereira seems to be the one who's, you know, the outcast, as most people would say, shouldn't be starting, but Mata at 10, Rashford, James, you know, no attacking creativity there. Rashford can't do it on his own.
I remember that game. You know, we kind of like, we weren't playing quickly enough. Newcastle were willing to sit back, and then they looked dangerous in the counter. So we weren't doing much well. And we couldn't break them down because when they put their defensive block up, it stifled United because not enough creativity, not enough movement. We just looked lethargic then. You know, a lot of these games, especially the lower teams, we couldn't get up for them. And then you go to a Chelsea, and the boys show up.
Yeah, I think what we learned at this point in the season is, you know, if we have a lot of the ball, we're going to play terribly. If we're going to play, you know, top opposition where they're going to come at us and we can counter them and transition quickly, expose the space at the back, we're going to win. We didn't have that creativity to break people down. Where could we get that from? You know, where can we get a creative midfielder who can help us break people down? We'll see, TBD. But look, we went into Norwich, we stomped them 3-1. Obviously, you know, a few nice goals there, sir, you know.
That was a big win. The Norwich one was big as well. And it's the Chelsea one that was the real goal that you want to talk about, sir. Our boy Marcus Rashford from the free kick.
Yeah, no, but this was obviously finish up the league. This is in the EFL Cup, right? We had to play Chelsea away. 1-1 is tied. Rashford steps up, kind of walks up like Ronaldo. What is it, like the 75th minute, I think?
Something like that. You think he's got it in him?
I know he's got it in him.
Just a thump. What a goal. Unbelievable from Rashford.
Willy Caballero at full stretch. What a goal. Well, disappointing. I wouldn't say we're out of the game, but we've got it all to do in the last 17 minutes.
I was like, why are they so disappointed? Oh, that's Chelsea TV. they're like, what a goal. I was like, yeah, it's a banger.
It was unbelievable. I mean, so it's funny, rewatching that replay, it was much farther out than I thought. That was like 30 yards. Absolute banger. Caballero. You know, but, you know, it's a poor man's Kepa, who's the poor man's, I don't know.
Somebody else.
Courtois, you know, he's a poor man's Courtois. Either way, I actually texted our Chelsea friend on the thread the other day about Kepa. I think they bought him for $70 million. Unbelievable. Absolute joke. Sir, EFL, we advance. Big win at the Bridge. You got to love beating Chelsea in their house. Europa League, we finished the month first in our group. We drew AZ away. That was a very boring match. Came at the beginning of the month before the Newcastle game. So it's kind of like we lost to West Ham, drew Arsenal, then we draw AZ Alkmaar, right? It's like they're not even a team. Lose to Newcastle, draw Liverpool. I mean, we're talking a stretch here. This is probably the worst stretch, right? And that's where Ole was talking about his job. But we did finish the first in the group at the end of the month. Lots to play for. Player of the month, Scotty McTominay. Scored Manchester United's 2,000th goal at Norwich, a big milestone. And what better player to get it than Scotty McSauce, who wins his back-to-back Player of the Month title for Manchester United. Absolutely love it.
There you go, Scotty. This was a rough patch for United for sure. I think it was defined by a couple big wins. I think that the point they took off Liverpool at home was kind of a big moment for him as well, because Liverpool at that point hadn't dropped anything. And I think that bought him some space. It was like, all right, well, we can hang with the big boys. The Norwich one was like a must win. So we happened to roll, which was good. But like you said, it was tough going. Probably the next big tough spot was January. But other than that, this was one of the harder months.
Well, we did hit with the draw against Liverpool. We hit 14th place in the table, just as an FYI. Yeah, so, you know, when I say tough times in October, it was, I mean, 14th place, Manchester United. When was the last time you heard Manchester United at 14th place? I mean, those are two things that shouldn't be, you know, linked together. But, you know, we stayed there for a week, beat Norwich. We're back to seventh, right? Clearly, it was tight at the bottom of the table. November, so moving on. This was sort of steadying the ship a little bit. We had that really rocky October. We come out of it with the Norwich win late in October. We beat Partizan away as well late in October. And then sort of the original game we were supposed to go to that we did not end up traveling to London for because of the early birth of my son. Bournemouth away, November 2nd. And, you know, it's one of those things where I'm glad we didn't go because we lost 1-0 away at Bournemouth. And that put us in 10th. Again, it's like you take two steps forward, one step back here with this Manchester United team and Ole. Lots of injuries in the midfield. So it's tough times, sir. It was a tough start to November, even though we were steadying the ship.
Yeah, steadying the ship is a relative term because it was rocky going all the end of 2019,
not quite
14, really.
Though.
Not quite 14th. we claw out a little bit in seventh with the win at Brighton, which I remember being a big one. But it was a ragtag crew. It was a ragtag team at this point. I think Ole was shuffling players around quite a bit, relying on Pereira a ton. And Rashford was just coming up with a lot of big goals. Obviously, he had two goals in the league in November. And was playing well in Europa as well. So it was tough going for United. There's no lying here. You remember back, it wasn't always fondly of these months during the year.
Yeah, but the reason why I say steadying the ship is because we come back after that Bournemouth loss. We beat Brighton, heavily 3-1. And then that Sheffield United game.
Brutal.
If there was a game that defined our season, this season, it would be this match where it's like, we're down two goals, everyone writing us off, score three goals in 10 minutes, and then give one up.
I know.
We almost got it. We're almost back, but we get pinned. And I think this Sheffield United game, while in and of itself was a draw 3-3 with an absolute stunner by Marcus Rashford, it was it was a win, right? It was a win for the lads, right? I do think that at the end of the day, this was a positive result for Manchester United because it showed that we can come back. We can take the reins. And obviously Rashford, Greenwood, Williams on the score sheet. Sheffield United aren't, it was away and they've had a huge season. So to basically almost beat them, show that type of gumption to come back, I thought was absolutely incredible from the lads.
Which made it so painful to lose those other 2 points and not get the victory, because it was such a great comeback, and then it's not remembered as a comeback at all because it's just a 3-3 draw. It's 1 point. It went a bit big win and done a long way, because this was an up and down month as well.
Yeah, it's tough. So we have the Rashford goal.
We did not.
We do not. Okay. We were going to queue up that audio clip. So we're doing it on the fly. Europa League, lost with the kids away in Astana. If you recall, we played like an incredibly young side. Hysterically, we basically rested all the first team players. We could have clinched first in the group if we sent them to Kazakhstan. End up losing 2-1 to basically Borod FC. Hysterically, after we rested those players, we end up drawing Villa at home. So there was like no benefit to resting and foregoing clinching the Europa League group. Player of the month for November was Marcus Rashford. He scored 3 goals, 10 total. His career best was 13 in a campaign, and he's already got 10 by November. Marcus Rashford heating up. So I think part of steadying the ship in November was that Rashford was really getting going, getting confidence, playing on the left, absolutely killing it.
Yeah, I think that was one of the big stories of this stretch, was how lights out Marcus Rashford looked. He looked good on the spot, and he was scoring goals from all over, scoring free kicks, scoring his like kind of trademark one-on-ones with the goalie. So red hot Rashford was steadying the ship and keeping us afloat, and that's why when he went down, when he did, it was such a huge loss for United.
Yeah, and I think he went down because he got no rest, right? We're so thin. We didn't sign a striker. I'm going to point to the board for that one. Marcus Rashford, like Martial, we know he's a great player, but he's injured often. He's like the type of player who's out 2 to 3 weeks, 2 to 3 times a year. You can bank on it. You can bank him sitting on the bench. It's just the way he is. But when he comes back, he can have fits and starts. Rashford just had too many minutes. We relied on him too much, and Ole's jaw's at stake, so he probably played him while he was injured, wrist, a worse injury to his back, which he ended up sustaining. Let's jump into December. Big game, big games, and big results. This was the theme, right? We come in, all the first team players, they're rested. They didn't travel to Kazakhstan, so they're ready to go. We come out of the gate literally that week, Aston Villa at home, Jack Grealish, banger.
Remember that?
We draw. Aston Villa fall to ninth, sir.
Tough times.
You and me doing the pod. We got Tottenham next. We got City away after that. Surely Ole is on the chopping block, because there's no way we're going to pull out back-to-back wins. We're in ninth going into our toughest fixtures. Beat Tottenham. Beat City away. Draw Everton at home. What do you mean? Everton at home. Like, how do we draw that? Watford, we lost. So it's like,
but those two wins first. Those were big. Those were like that game. I think that bought Ole time. in many ways.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. That saved his job 1,000,000%. But then the Watford hadn't won all year, beat us at home 2-0. They smoke us. Newcastle at home 4-1. Burnley away 2-0. We start kind of picking up. When I start seeing the Newcastle big win, I start seeing the Burnley win. Those are the games I'm looking for Manchester United. We start hitting all cylinders, sir. Great stuff. We finished the month in fifth place. Big December. Unfortunately, McTominay has a knee injury. Newcastle out 2 months.
Huge bummer. Huge bummer to lose McTominay. My goal of the month is none other than Mr. Martial, sir. He went down to the Etihad and had something to say.
James gets it through to Martial. Martial shot. Oh, he scored! It's two! And no more than Manchester United deserve. They have been all over Manchester City in this first half an hour. Edison beaten at his near post.
That's how you do an announcement and get excited for a goal, sir. Not like the Chelsea TV with the banger, but good goal from Martial. I remember that performance. They came out and looked really dangerous in the counter, right? Dan James running into space. I think they had a bunch of good opportunities. And that was one of the ones that actually went in. But that was, we were seeing these really good performances against really good teams in really big games. And like you said, we'd follow it up with an Everton at home draw 1-1. And that was barely with Greenwood bailing us out, right?
Exactly. And that's just showing the tactics, right? It's just like a team wants to pack it in. Like City's not going to pack it in against us. And
right.
We can play to space. It's just finding out that dynamic and, being defensively sound, I think was part of it, right? Like Harry Maguire at the back kind of playing a little bit early in the season. Clearly Lindelof and him would kind of get that chemistry and they kind of close things up. If you look at our defensive record, especially towards the end of the campaign here, was absolutely lights out. And it's just kind of like when we fix that, when we stop giving up that third goal at Sheffield United, that's when you're starting to see this United team click, right? And we haven't even brought in Bruno Fernandes yet. So we need some more creativity in attack. We need to kind of get those goalkeeping errors out of here. David De Gea, clean up the defensive stuff. And set pieces, dude. Letting goals from set pieces left and right. I mean, that is just coaching. It's like that's another element of like how sloppy we started this season. But December, big month, probably saved Ole his job. EFL Cup, we beat Colchester United. We got a great draw against them. We beat them 3-0, advanced to the semifinals. Who we get drawn against? Manchester City. That was fun, getting two derbies. Europa League, we clinched the top spot in our group, beating AZ Alkmaar at home 4-0. Greenwood had two goals in that match. Ashley Young also scored. Last goal before he ended up leaving for Inter Milan. Player of the month, Rashford, had that brace at Tottenham. That put him over the list of Rashford back-to-back player of the month. Love seeing McTominay, Rashford, these types of players. James, McTominay, Rashford, winning player of the month. The youngsters playing well. Fans love it. Give him the player of the month.
December was a huge month, and Rashford was really just hitting his zenith, just looking lights out in some of these games. And like you said, I think it did save him his job. Big games and also big wins over the holidays, with that win at home at Newcastle, against Newcastle, and away at Burnley. Those were just big results. We needed points, and we landed in fifth. Not a bad place to finish the year, considering all the ups and downs.
Jumping into January, always darkest before the dawn. That's a phrase we use on the podcast because, we haven't seen the dawn yet quite for Manchester United.
We're still waiting for it.
Winning our 21st EPL title. Look, EPL, I mean, this was rough. You got to say, look, lost to Arsenal away.
Brutal. Norwich, remember that game? That was brutal. They like...
We beat up the Canaries at home 4-0. Liverpool away, we lost 2-0. Burnley at home, we lost 2-0. But what's amazing is we stayed in fifth place in the league the whole time.
Yep.
And this is one of those where everyone else was losing when we would lose.
Yep.
We like clearly we're going into Burnley. Like if we beat Burnley, Chelsea's playing a tough team. We just could never capitalize. That has been the theme for Manchester United for the last 18 months. If you want to look at last season, same thing, running for top four. Another team would drop points. We had to go into the game, win it. We just couldn't do it. When things were going in our favor in the table, we could just not make up the space. Continued in January, but you know what? We will get some help from our Portuguese Magnifico when he came in. FA Cup took two takes to beat Wolves, but we got through in the second and the third round replay on the 15th of January. Mata, 67th minute goal. I mean, nervy stuff. We were able to squeak through. But that Wolves game, in order to get that goal, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wanted to rest him, but he played Marcus Rashford, and he injured his back. ends up fracturing his back. I mean, I remember this. He was on the bench. Ole wants to rest him. We need to win. And he puts him in, sir. And obviously that cost him dearly. Like, how could he was already playing with playing injured. He barely could sit down, apparently, and they're putting him in the match. I mean, at this point, Ole, this one's on Ole and the physios, probably more the physios, but.
We talked a lot about this when it happened, right? This was obviously like a big story because he's our main man, best player of the season, and goes down injured for probably just like not enough rest. It's an indictment really on the board. Like the fact that they didn't replace Lukaku and shipped out Sanchez and they didn't bring anyone in until end of January. You end up losing your man. And also like the overplaying, but at the end of the day, if he had one compound fracture and then gets a second one, he should not have been anywhere near the squad in the first place. He should have been resting already. So a lot of question marks about what the hell actually happened with Rashford, but him going down was like, holy shit, we are screwed unless this team gets reinforcements.
This was a bit, I mean, like, so A, this could have set up making moves in January. B, you know, your brother's a spinal surgeon and he actually commented on the injury. He's like, there's no way he should have been near a football pitch when he got put in at Wolves, which is like amazing that the physios are just like, yeah, wrap it up, put some ice on it.
Give him a cortisone shot.
Round four, Tranmere Rovers, dude. Tranmere, you remember that pitch? That sloppy, muddy pitch reminds me of old English football, sir. We beat them 6-0. Jesse Lingard got a goal. You got to shout out Jesse Lingard. He's perfect. What, League Two? Jesse wants to play there. He's Tranmere. Perfect. He'd be great.
He'd smoke it. Top scorer. This is a big win, though.
Him quite a bit of money.
Big win in Tranmere for us because pressure was on, right? We just lost to Burnley at home. And there was like, if you lose to Tranmere, bro, I think Ole's gun. He's gone.
Again, Ole's job kind of. For me, the Newcastle was the low, but we definitely almost tested that low here.
Burnley at home was pretty tough.
Burnley at home was a low. I would say that. And then EFL Cup, the City ups and downs. United, we did look unconvincing at Old Trafford. But we were given a lifeline from Rashford, obviously playing on aggregate, 3-1. And then basically the second fixture of the semifinal, we went to City, we won 1-0. Matic had the goal, but we couldn't get that second.
That was the one with at the end with a free kick chance, and Fred took it instead of Mata. Remember that? Like Mata, like known spot where he scored goals, God. And Fred's like, I'm feeling good, give me a chance, and just like skies it.
It was one of the worst free kicks I've seen in a long time. Player of the month, you mentioned him, Fred. He played in all nine matches, had his 50th appearance against Norwich. Look, Fred got a lot of use, so he proved he's durable, right? He had to play a lot of fixtures. Midfield was light. We got rid of Herrera for nothing, for no reason, thanks to the Woodward operation, this absolute muppetry we have going on. And you have to comment on that. I mean, the reason why Rashford probably got injured overuse is because of Woodward. The reason why, you know, Pereira had run out as a starter on Manchester United is because of Woodward. I mean, you got to look at the squad depth. You got to plan for these types of things. You got to understand the injuries. But clearly, we got clowns running the show. January transfer window, the only thing Manchester United did do in the clown show side of things, brought in Bruno Fernandes from Sporting Lisbon, haggled over it all month, got it done barely. Needed number nine again, came down the last day.
Last day.
Ed Woodward, we're going for Haaland. You remember, Haaland done deal, going to be announced January 1. Dortmund pip us. Then we come out with some narrative about how there's a sell-on fee and Raiola and something. The fact we didn't sign Haaland is insane because Ole basically trained him in Norway, the Norwegian connect, wants to go to United, absolute beast, exactly what we need at Manchester United. He has also proven to be worth it, played lights out. I think he went to Dortmund for something like 30 million. So what do you care what the sign-on fee is or the sell-on fee? If you get him for 30 to 40 million, he comes to United on a four-year deal. He's one of Europe's top prospects. I mean, the fact that we've missed out on Haaland, that was probably the big L. But Agallo FC started then. He's done a great job. But you have to criticize Eddie for leaving it to the last day. Josh King.
For him. But I think it was either Bruno or Haaland. You know, I think all in his fee. I know it was only like 20 million transfer fee, but I think there's like 30 million in agent fees and family fees and all these fees. So would you rather have Haaland or Bruno? I mean, Haaland's probably going to be like the better talent, long-term, bigger brand. Bruno made an instant impact.
I don't think it was either or. I think they needed both. I think they needed midfield, and I think they needed number nine, which is why we went for Agallo.
She didn't have the cash for both, right? You had the cash for one. One's on a free transfer. One was 47 pounds. That could go up to 67 or whatever million pounds. In Holland, I don't know.
Hey, it worked out.
It worked.
Look,
it was a good January transfer window, to be honest.
I don't think of like how bad and terrible the Glazers and Woodward are mismanaging it. I just think Manchester United is number one club in the world, most fans in the world. They make the most money in the world. They have the most revenue in the world. They should be buying the top European striking talent. If Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to be your manager and Haaland just absolutely lights out, he's Norwegian. They know each other. They love each other. Like, you got to bring him in. Bring him to Manchester United.
I agree.
Not thinking about the money. Bruno Fernandes should have brought him in last summer. And in my opinion, this is business done too late. They left it six more months. We needed Bruno
again
earlier. We needed him six months earlier. So again, they're just delaying. Like Harry Maguire needed him a year earlier. Again, there's delay. A lot of that has to do with how they're running the club financially. But they do get there at the end of the day. But like next season, are we going to compete for the league? What name a year that Manchester United shouldn't compete for the league? If they're pulling in $600 million in revenue, the most in England, the most in Europe, the biggest club worldwide, and they are not competing to win the league. Their intentions in the transfer market are not to win the league. What do you mean? It should be to win the Champions League every year.
You're preaching to the choir, mate. You're preaching to the choir, but we're fighting for Europa League and
it's
FA Cup and top four.
It's like, how long can you delay it?
We've slipped,
how
dude.
Long can
I
you
mean,
delay
we've
it?
Slipped.
And, this and if you want to look at the financial side, they don't have money. They don't have $300 million.
We can go on a tangent. This is going to go on a tangent. I'm talking to you for an hour about like
how poorly this club is managed.
But to be honest, we're lucky that they got the window that they had because otherwise it could have been a horror show. You know, lead up to the hiatus, and the hiatus itself, we could have a very thin squad and people like wanting to get out. But Bruno, thank goodness, because if it happened a couple months later or the COVID happened a couple months earlier, it might have never happened anyway. And he was just like, he might be the last piece of the puzzle.
Notables that left: Rojo, no one wants him, couldn't sell him. So we basically let him go to Argentina, go party. for another 6 months until his contract wound down. Ashley Young went to Inter Milan on a permanent move to join Sanchez and Lukaku. We also had some youngsters leave to go on loan. Borthwick Jackson, Vocek, Hamilton, Tanner, and Taylor, sir. So quite a bit of loans for the U23s, U18s, and obviously Rojo. Shout out to Rojo, the bad tattoos, and Ashley Young leaving in January. February, the theme, you said it, Bruno, show us the way. 7 points from three games. There you go. Getting a little better. Not seeing as much red here on the fixture list.
I know, right? The colors are like a good indicator of how things went.
Yeah, tough draw at Wolves, followed by a big win against Chelsea away at Stamford Bridge, and a convincing win against Watford at Old Trafford, where Bruno Fernandes scored his first goal for Manchester United. Remember the name.
Bruno.
Now it's James. Fernandes giving chase. Foster out of his goal. Penalty. Ben Foster raced out. Martin Atkinson making the decision that he caught Fernandes, and Manchester United have a penalty.
Well, what Fernandes has been doing in the last 5 or 10 minutes, he's been drifting out to that left-hand side, and he's just been waiting for the space. He gets through, he's onside. Yeah, and he just gets it around Foster. I don't think there's any complaints there. It's definitely the penalty. But what he's done is used his intelligence, because what's been happening, Dawson's been getting forward, Delafeu's has been getting forward as well, and that's been leaving the space in the turnover, and he's near enough been holding hands with James at times, and it's worked in their favour. James passed the ball to Fernandes, who's now got a great opportunity to give United the lead.
Yeah, those two in combat again here from 12 yards. United have had their problems with penalties this season, but Bruno Fernandes has placed the ball down on the spot at the old scoreboard end of
Come on, Bruno!
Soaked in goals during his time with Sporting Lisbon. Is this his moment with a Manchester United badge on his chest? Bruno Fernandes! There is ice in those veins! This is his new home, and he's feeling right at home.
Sir, still gives me the chills. Bruno, welcome home. Welcome to Old Trafford. What big month for him, big performance from United. That was like, I remember that win. We were like looking free-flowing for the first time in a while and just playing exciting football against a lower team.
I mean, this is like United. This is vintage United. You just show up and you just play them off the park. I mean, Bruno, he had that corner against Chelsea that led to that Maguire header. Changes the game in so many ways. Started against Wolves. You could see him, the effort, like what's going on, looking at players, giving him the eye, telling them to make runs, his vision, the confidence on the ball, the 1-2s, just like, you know, he's just a more aggressive, younger version of Juan Mata almost. You know, Mata's kind of a little soft on the ball, but Bruno's sharp, goes in for challenges. He's got personality. You know, he wants to win the middle of the park. He wants to let people know he's there. And coming to that United side, getting that goal too, you hear the crowd, Bruno, Bruno, Bruno at home. He does a celebration, covers his ears.
Awesome.
That little penalty run up. I mean, dude, hey, welcome to Manchester United, Bruno Fernandes. I mean, this was the month of Bruno right here.
It was. I don't think there's going to be any debate about who's taking free kicks or penalties kicks anymore. You know, it's not going to be Rashford. It's not going to be Pogba. It's got to be Bruno because with him,
there's Rashford take free kicks though.
Depending on how far out you are. I mean, they're both pretty good at free kicks, right? They'll both be standing. I can't wait to see that. Ooh, we got options all over the place, sir. We got multiple people who could take free kicks.
I don't know who takes the pens. I don't know. I think Bruno takes the pens. So for me, the penalty thing is like, it's yours till you miss.
Yeah.
I think that's the rule. It's like, you go until you miss.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. Like, that's how Sir Alex kind of did it a little bit. I mean, I know that's how he set it up. If you have an RVP,
if you got options,
RVP all day, you know, like, you know, but if you have a few, like now, it's not quite Rashford, not quite Pogba, not quite Bruno. Bruno scoring, you keep Bruno.
I think it's Bruno. I think Bruno's like, he's like, dude, it's mine. It's like, I haven't missed yet.
We didn't talk about the penalty gate. We didn't talk about penalty gate at the beginning of the season. We left that out. The Yagba penalties where he missed.
Oh, we could talk. I mean, sir, this pod's easily going to run over an hour anyway. So there's so much you could talk about.
No,
this
I know,
season.
But I'm just saying, like, you remember we did have trouble with penalties this season and have Bruno come in and score him.
We had trouble. We had trouble with a lot this season, sir.
Yeah, it's tough all around. Europa League, after a 1-1 draw in Belgium, United actually battered Bruges in the second leg. I remember that Belgium draw, beat them 5-0. We go through, sir, to the round of 16 in the Europa League. So, making our stamp on that competition. Player of the month, Bruno. That's basically it. He played in 9 matches, scored 3 goals, 4 assists. I mean, center attacking midfielder. That's what you want. March, coming into the end of the season so far, recap, we call it hashtag pandemic problems. Again, we started in the league, Everton, 1-1 draw. Can't get the best Everton, but Fernandes did get his goal.
Tough game, though. That was a tough match. Remember that?
It was a tough. We need, because it's like those games where we're just drawing and we're dropping too many points. We need those wins, sir. I mean, we're 5th in the table. We need to move. Couldn't against Everton. And then obviously Manchester City at home. Scott McTominay, you know, into stoppage time, sir. You got the audio there?
Are you not entertained? What a goal,
unbelievable,
sir.
Goal. Unbelievable goal from Scott McTominay. Sir, I absolutely love Telemundo. I mean, for all these United fans, we have become like full Telemundo. We watch all United games are on Telemundo. On Telemundo, the goal call is unbelievable. Del Manchester United. Like, I love it. Like, the calls are so much better.
It's true.
They're not biased. You can't even hear their bias that much. I mean, you speak more Spanish than me. But, you know, it's great. Shout out Telemundo. I mean, those calls, so entertaining. Absolutely love those highlights.
Well, I think there's far more Manchester United goodwill on that side of the, you know, that side of the fence versus NBC, which is all like a lot of like London teams, a lot of Arsenal, Chelsea, you know, like anti-United, whereas like Telemundo is all about Manchester United. They're a huge team throughout Latin America, of course. And they're the boss team. Boss team.
Yeah, it's almost like NBC, you know, I call them NBC LFC. It's almost like they forgot the last, you know, the history of the last 25 years or the entire history of the Premier League as we know it. Manchester United absolutely dominating, and the way they call it is like, oh, City are purring. City are so great. Liverpool are so amazing. It's like, Liverpool's been an absolute shit for 30 years. United have dominated across all fronts, and just because United haven't been good during their spell of broadcasting games, they're like so biased against Manchester United. I don't really understand it.
That's why we're moving. That's what I'm telling you. We're going to have all these games back. I guarantee they'll be on Telemundo, and that's where I'm going to be. Telemundo all day.
Telemundo all day. And then in the FA Cup, United handled Rooney. Rooney led Derby County with a good contribution from FC Agallo. He got his goal, sir. He came in, did great for us. And obviously, Lask Agallo. Agallo FC scores again. We smoke Lask. That was our last game on March 12th. First leg of the round of 16, and then obviously pandemic. You and me were expected to travel to the UK to watch Tottenham on June, basically watch Tottenham in March. We were not allowed to go. Obviously, the travel bans, the pandemic hit, and then that's it. EPL is off. They famously had that Liverpool versus Atletico Madrid, where Atletico came back in stoppage time and just smoked Liverpool. The best thing ever was that their last game was them getting eliminated by Atletico Madrid. And the cherry on top is Firmino scored in extra time to make them think that they could win it. Atletico then scored two or three more, I think. Absolutely smoked them. Great to see Klopp angry on the sideline. But probably risky given the fact the pandemic was going on at that time. Player of the month was Bruno, one goal and two assists. And the English Premier League has been postponed basically since the week of March 8th. That was the last game, and then it was postponed on that week of the 3:15 when we were supposed to play Tottenham. And so it's been quite a long time. We got, was that April, May,
three
June,
full months,
basically 3 months, no football, no knowing what's going to happen with the rest of the season. At that point, the uncertainty, everything, things have calmed down. I'm glad that we have sports coming back. We have USC in the United States. We have soccer in Germany. Testing has been going great for EPL, so I think the fact that we're coming back in the way that we are with 9 games left, everything to play for, like you said, it's going to be crazy. The fixture list is absolutely crammed. We'll get to that a little later. But first, looking backwards, what would you grade Ole Gunnar Solskjaer on his season? Right here, we have his worst loss was at Newcastle away. I think that was a low of the season so far. And the biggest win was that Tottenham City back-to-back victory in early December. Like we said, that Newcastle low, and then those two fixtures really in December back-to-back saved his job. What would you grade Ole so far?
It's funny, when I did my review or my rating, it was before we did the full go-through every game. So I would change my rating and change some of his worst losses and biggest wins. Worst loss probably at Burnley at home, 2-0. Now that I think about it, that was brutal. And that was a terrible game, terrible result. Biggest win, the ones you called out were huge, but also that City game where we really did dominate them in a way I haven't seen us dominate them in many, many years, which was the last game in front of fans at Old Trafford. So I'm going to give him a C+, partly because I think his hands were tied behind his back, selling Lukaku and shipping out Sanchez without bringing anyone else in did Ole a big disservice, and then losing Pogba and having to rely on everybody else. But obviously, January, big window, turned it away. C+.
C+. Jesus Christ. I was like, C-. Okay, C+.
C+.
I'll give an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer a B. He gets a B mainly because it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. As a manager, that is true in this league. That Newcastle low, you beat that. It's like similar with Mourinho. We had that Newcastle comeback at home. I think that saves his job. Like certain victories
like
save your job for a certain amount of time. Yeah. You know, so it's like those big certain, like you beat City and Tottenham back to back, you get 6 weeks or 2 months. You know, and so every time we faced adversity, Ole was able to dig it out. The players were able to dig it out. And I think it shows a lot from the players because the players are playing for the coach. The players want to play for the coach. I thought that we had a lot of injuries go the wrong way. I think, like you said, a lot of transfers didn't fall until maybe January. But it's how we finish and how Ole has this team clicking right now with Bruno, everything, the confidence, the juju. That's without Rashford. That's without Pogba. Even at the end of the day, I got to give Ole a B. Because he was able to weather all the storms, and we're basically finishing with all eyes set on the prize, 3 points behind Chelsea. I mean, that ain't bad so far. So far.
Everything left to play for. C+. It's within a reach. And like you said, it's so far because It is all about how the next 2 months go. That's going to define the season. That's what everyone's going to remember. Do we fizzle out like last year, or is this actually the beginning of something? Are we building on something that's sustainable, where we're actually going to start, you know, being in a position to fight for titles and, you know, real silverware in Europe in the next year or two? So we will see. The end of the season will be a big marker for that. Whether or not we can finish in the Champions League will be a big marker for that, because there's no way we're going to have the cash or the ability to sign Sancho this year if we're not in Champions League. And even then, it's going to be a stretch. But that's very critical. We have to finish in the Champions League, both for the money and the prestige, to compete for Sancho.
Absolutely. Looking at the player stats so far, goals. Marcus Rashford leading the line, 14 goals. Martial right behind him with 11. Mason Greenwood with 5. Assists, Dan James, 6. Marcus Rashford, 4. And Bruno Fernandes, 3. Harry Maguire leading the team in passes out of the back. I mean, that's kind of the way the league's trending. Shots, no surprise here. Marcus Rashford leading the line. And then tackles, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, 99. Second place is Fred with 54, and McTominay with 40 right behind him. And essentially interceptions, 1, Harry Maguire behind Aaron Wan-Bissaka. So some great stats there. Exactly what you want to see. Tackles, Aaron Wan-Bissaka. We haven't talked about him at all. But I mean, he's played absolutely great defensively, starting to show the signs offensively. So great stats so far.
No, I mean, we're going to go in the season's award, and he's arguably player of the year. You know, there's been a couple people that you can throw your hat at, but he's had such a season really not marked with any downs. You know, people criticize him for not enough productivity offensively, and I think we've started to see a good uptick like right before the season got called, but he's been such a consistent player this season. So he deserves a lot of credit.
No, absolutely. And all the highlights of him kind of like spiraling out, tackles all on the right-hand side. I mean, he's played well in a 5. He's played well in a 4. I mean, versatile. And going forward, he's showing signs of hope. Okay, we're going to do our season awards so far. Players, management, staff. MVP of the year so far, our Sir Bobby Charlton Award. Sir, who do you got and why?
I was going to pick who you picked, which is Rashford, Red Hot Rashford. He's had an unbelievable season, but just because I don't want to
give my pick away. I haven't given my pick.
Well, I got to give context. There's a reason. Who else is going to be? Who else is going to be? I wanted to pick Rashford. He's been my standout. Not doing it because you picked it. Sorry, I won't give it. I won't give any more. Oh, it has to give context.
This is an ESPN. You don't have to pick the other player. You can pick whoever you want.
I would pick Rashford, but I'm picking Bruno Fernandes. You know, I think if the season turns around the way we're all hoping, I think it's going to be because of Bruno Fernandes. But a lot of players that could fit this bill. Rashford, McTominay, Spider, sir, you give me yours.
I picked Rashford, highest goal tally so far. I mean, we relied on him until he broke down. Unfortunately, youngster, number 10, you know, going to be a Manchester United great, and he's great off the pitch as well. We see his philanthropy during the pandemic. Absolutely. There's nothing bad you can say about Marcus Rashford. Most improved award, the Sir John O'Shea. Sir, who do you got?
I got it. Got to be my man, Fred. You know, he's often criticized, had a really tough first year at Manchester United, didn't really live up to that price tag. And then he's gotten games. I think he's gotten the right, you know, armor on the shoulder from Michael Carrick, is apparently who's been working with him quite a bit. And he's really turned to form, had some big games against City, against Chelsea, against Spurs in those big wins in December and January. So he's my man, most turnaround, and hopefully he keeps on from here and gets even better.
Hey, I was criticizing Fred hard at the beginning of the season, and I took my criticism back. You know, it's kind of one of those things where, given the injuries, you're either going to drown or you're going to swim. It took him a few matches, but he is able to swim. The link-up play, running back, the effort is there. I just need his, you know, shooting to improve a tad, maybe a few more goals out of Fred. You know, that threat. He gets the ball in dangerous areas at the top of the box, and he just never thinks he's going to score. He does take those shots at the high bleachers, the nosebleeds, sir. He's hitting the nosebleeds, you know. You got to maybe hit the lower level fans first, then put the ball in the net. So Fred needs to work on his shooting. For me, most improved, Brandon Williams. I mean, this kid, young teenager coming up. There's some great interviews with him on YouTube. Pretty much came out of nothing, sir. I mean, honestly, his upbringing, where he lived, and, you know, to see him at the age of, 19 come in, absolutely owning the left side of the park, getting a bumper deal. Dan James, I'm going to give him a shout out as well. So, you know, for me, Brandon Williams, absolutely love the lad, top player. And then shout out to Dan James, because I do think he is done great this year for what we signed him on.
It's always good when, just like MVP, there are a lot of players that could fit on this list as well in terms of most improved, because Brandon Williams, a great shout out. Dan James, I think, taking the step up to the Premier League as well is a great shout out. But I love the fact that we have Brandon Williams competition. I think it lighted a fire under Luke Shaw's ass, and we're starting to see him. Have you seen him in training, dude? He looks lean and mean. He looks like vegan meat pies now. He's like yoked and the most fit I've seen Luke Shaw. So good for him. And I think that was partly because of the competition of Brandon Williams. He did not want to lose his spot to a 19-year-old.
But it's perfect, because even if Luke Shaw's going to be the starter week in, week out, you still need B-dubs.
Yep.
You still need Brandon Williams to do it, right? Yep. It's like, and they're different players, but Brandon Williams going forward, that's what excites me. Is like Luke Shaw, when he goes forward, he's kind of one-dimensional in kind of how he operates, but Brandon Williams looks like cut to the touchline, put a ball in, dangerous on the cross, take a man one-on-one out in the wing, a little more versatile than Luke Shaw. I love that he's a young lad coming up. Biggest disappointment of the year award, sir. The Sir Bebe Award. Who do you got and why? I mean, this award is absolute riot, right?
I love the name. For me, it's got to be Lindelof. You know, we bought Maguire, big money signing. You know, we overpaid, but that's all good. We paid $50 million for the player, $30 million for the head. But it's got to be Lindelof, because Maguire takes the pressure off of him. He doesn't have to be like the big man player every game in terms of defense. And I think he took a step back in terms of what we've seen at Lindelof and the progress. So, a little disappointing, and his spot is up for grabs, right? He has not cemented it in a way that you thought he would. It's totally up for grabs. If Baye cannot get hurt, or Twanzebe is willing to make a push, because that spot is not, you know, it's not his yet. Who you got, sir?
I mean, that's a little harsh. You know, that's like that C plus you put on Ole. Lindelof,
he deserves
biggest
it.
Disappointment award is Lindelof. I thought he was playing well at the end of the year.
Well, I'm going to talk about your. I'm going to talk about your disappointment.
Biggest disappointment, Jesse Lingard. What do you mean? Like, Jesse Lingard, the biggest disappointment by all. I mean, like, he has to be adding value. He's 27. He's in his prime. I mean, he's got so many distractions off the pitch. It seems to me he's got the talent. He's got everything. Can't put it together. You know, can't grow up. He's like that. You know, he's forever 21. You know, Jesse Lingard. He posts on social media at Christmas, him sitting in a big teddy bear. It's just like, how are you going to, like, think of Roy Keane. Think of the Man United greats. How many of them are posing with giant teddy bears in their house? You know, I mean, honestly, it's like you got to grow up. Jesse Lingard, he's getting paid bank, too. I mean, he's got it in his locker. We don't see it week in, week out. Jesse Lingard hasn't played well for a year at this point. Biggest disappointment for me.
It's a good one, sir. It's a very good one. Next award.
That's how I do. Goal of the season. Sir David Beckham Award, what do you got? Who's goal of the season so far?
It was a recent one. Actually, there's a bunch of good ones on the list, but my favorite's got to be Martial Scooper against Watford. That goal where he got denied and then like kind of maneuvers his angle and just pops it over the keeper, former United player. But good goal for Martial, just getting a little of that Bruno swagger rubbing off on him, playing lights out towards the last push of the season. Who you got?
For me, Scott McTominay. Goal del Manchester United, sir. I mean, Scotty McSauce, last-minute winner against Manchester City, the way he scored it, the celebration in the rain, at home against Shitty, the Derby, winning at home. That's one thing in the Derby that we haven't been able to get right last couple of years, beating them at home in that fashion, holding on to the clean sheet. Big milestone for Manchester United as well. Love it, Scotty McSauce, sir.
That's a good segue.
Next award.
Sorry, go ahead.
What did you say?
No, I said that's a good segue, because top match, top moment of the season, those two align.
Match moment of the season, the Roy Keane Award, sir. Who do you got?
I got United doing the double against Chelsea. You know, my favorite team to beat, one of the biggest rivalries in our locker. But doing the double, especially at the bridge with Bruno whipping in that header to Maguire and just like finishing in front of the United fans. That was a special moment for me. Can't wait to do it again. Let's finish above them. Let's finish above Leicester. Let's make a push.
Absolutely. For me, it was beating City at home. That was it. Like that moment, that high, the Derby at home, Bruno shushes Pep on the touchline.
Sorry, sir.
Early on the ending of the pod, we haven't gotten into a few segments of the podcast here at American Red Devils. We do everything ourselves. This is not an edit.
Can't you tell?
We fix the audio. We're doing it live. That's how we do. So you might hear some just random sounds every once in a while. For me, Bruno Fernandes shushing Pep Guardiola on the touchline might be the absolute moment of moments. We go from, you know, early in the year, can't do nothing, and then we're flexing on City at home. I mean, that is great. Absolutely love this, right? City's got the Champions League ban coming down on them. And they come to our place, and we just boss them around the park. And you look at that team, you look at where we come from, this whole year adding Bruno, and then he kind of stepping up the plate, trolling Pep, the top troll. I mean, that's a move, sir. Manchester United almost back after that, right?
I mean, the swag that you're looking for in a player, in someone that's going to galvanize the team, Bruno's got it, right? Like, you want to just like, oh, where's Herrera spitting on the badge? I'll do you one better. I'll shush Pep. And you shushed him on the field as well. He had a great game.
Savage. I've never seen that. The player shushing the other coach like, hoo-hoo.
He was like talking. I think he was talking shit to him, and he was just like, yeah, bro. Look at the scoreboard.
Bruno Fernandes, you know, much love. So looking forward, what's left to play for? We have the full recap behind us. We've got us all cut up. So we got EPL top four. I mean, I'm going in order of importance here for Manchester United. And that we talked top four, but there's a little asterisk next to that top four because Manchester shitty, right? They got that ban, 2-year Champions League ban handed down from UEFA. So technically the top five teams as it stands would advance to Champions League football. And that is, we're talking Champions League football money. That's about 80 million in rev to Manchester United. That's probably Sancho right there. Manchester United make top four. We probably sign Sancho. We don't. We probably don't. That's how important Champions League is to us this year. So that's why I'm including top four. It has to be number one. Even if we win Europa League, you know, I have to say you got to win top four because it gives us flex. We got to flex on other EPL teams. The problem is this ban is going to be decided in 3 to 4 weeks. They're going to appeal this week and it will be decided in July. So this will be while we're playing. We'll know if five or four. That's how slippery this is. And the quote I heard from an expert weighing in on it, quote, usually CAS cases, right? That's the arbitration court. UEFA don't tend to send their strongest legal team, and cases are often overturned, as we saw with AC Milan, who are in a similar position as Manchester City. So I don't know why UEFA ain't sending good lawyers. Maybe we can send some for them.
Seriously.
But these punishments are usually overturned because City are paying top dollar, and it usually comes down to these legal arguments in the court of arbitration. And I could see – I really think it's going to be a one-year ban. Not a 2-year ban. That's where I see it going. What do you think? Are we playing for top five or top four?
I think it's overturned entirely. You know, I hope it goes where you said and it ends up being a 1-year ban. I think they're going to overturn it. So it's got to be top four. We're playing for top four. We're 3 points behind Chelsea. That's got to be who we're going for. Forget finishing in fifth. That's not going
to
do it.
It has to be top four. You just got to do it just to do it.
Yeah.
You don't want to be like, oh, you got top five or whatever. Let Chelsea get that.
Yeah.
You know, we need to do top four. We need to show. We need to end strong. Like, because the whole reason is last season we had these last 10 games, everything to play for, and we completely bottled it. United, we can't bottle it, you know. And what's crazy is going to be the order of operations. We're going to play EPL, then FA Cup, probably going to finish, you know, later, and then Europa League will happen after we already know if we're in or out of it.
Yeah, it's wild. So it'll just be silver. It'll just be like a trophy on top, which is great. And they're probably going to do it like tournament style, aren't they?
Or we could be screwed, and then we'll be like, okay, the last thing we have to play for is Europa League, right? And then we have the whole Europa League tournament probably in an abbreviated timeline, and that will be basically all she wrote. So it's also the timing of everything is going to be interesting relative to where it was. So we, if you look at the table, we are on 45 points, play 29 games. Chelsea, 48 points. That is who we need to pip. We need to pip Chelsea. We're 3 points behind, but behind us, only 2 points. We got Wolves and Sheffield United, and Sheffield United have a game in hand. So if they win, they're 1 point ahead of us in 46. If you actually look at the table as it stands, Tottenham behind them, 41. Arsenal, 40. But they have a game in hand as well, so they could be on 43. Again, 2 points behind us. It is
tight.
Tight.
It is tight. And,
you know, we come out of the gate, we lose to Tottenham. Oof. Sheffield United win. Boom, boom. It's like, then we're staring down the barrel of the gun. I mean, this is going to be tough. It's tough. Tough, sir. Absolutely tough. Unbelievable. June 19th, Tottenham. 24th, Sheffield United. 30th, Brighton. 4th of July, Bournemouth at home. Absolutely love the 4th of July match. July 8th, Aston Villa. July 11th, Southampton. 15th, Crystal Palace. 18th, West Ham. 26th, Leicester City.
Are you not entertained, sir? What a summer of football. It's like, this is, give me a World Cup. This is almost.
You know, what a month of football. I mean, the wives are going to kill us, but this is unbelievable. I can't. I don't know if my heart can take it. So look, what are the odds for the top four? Leicester -700, Chelsea -163, United +175. So you're making money, almost two times your money if you bet United to make top four. So we're the odds on out of it. Wolves +800, Tottenham +1000, Sheffield +1400. I can't believe we're the odds makers have it against us to make top four here. Well, I thought we'd be closer to Chelsea, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. We're sitting outside it, and we do have a track record. Like you said, those last 10 games last season did not bode well for United. So we got to finish strong. We got to finish better than we played throughout the original part of the season. And there's no reason we shouldn't, right? The boys should be ready to go. Ready to go. They're in the same position as everybody where they haven't played competitively in 3 months. But we got a deep squad, and we got a lot of good players ready to make a mark.
Next competition we're playing for in that order, sir, the Europa League as importance because we can make Champions League by winning Europa League. Last game we played was against LASK. We won 4-0, hashtag Agallo FC. And Europa League is TBD right now. There is no official start date for that. There's no official logistics, but it is rumored to restart on August 6th. And via an inside source, the quote is, I believe all the international calendars and league fixture rounds and the dates of the Champions League, Europa League will be official by June 18th. So we're talking probably another week and a half. We're going to hear about exactly the final fixture schedule for Europa League, Champions League. I'm sure they're going to do these in sort of like Olympic Village style where they bring all the teams to one location. They do sort of, they play the tournament in sort of over a week's type of thing, kind of like a mini World Cup. But we are number one ranked to win it, 28% chance per 538.com. Behind us, Bayern Leverkusen, 19%, Wolves, 10%. I mean, everything to play for. All we got to do is beat LASK, right?
I mean, we do. Wolves. I mean, that would be like the ultimate showdown. The team that I probably want to play the least because they've been our boogeyman. They have been a tough team to play, especially in cups. But it would be kind of fun to do it to him.
Inter, Sevilla. We owe Sevilla one.
We do.
After getting bounced out of Champions League. And then Inter, we got like basically Manchester United, like old school.
Sanchez,
Lukaku. So absolutely crazy. But we'll keep you posted on where Europa League stands. And then FA Cup. We could win FA Cup. A little silverware there as well. We're playing Norwich in the next round. And the Hill, William Hill, the odds are Manchester City to win -138, Chelsea to win +700, Manchester United +800, Arsenal +900, Leicester +1000, Sheffield United +1800, Newcastle +3300, and Norwich +4000. So look at the odds. I mean, how could we're playing Norwich, right? I mean, and then Manchester City -138, that's how much the bookies think they're better than us.
I like those odds. I like those odds. I could see us playing City in the semis, but we got a good draw, and there's so many games. The fact that there's going to be so many games in 2 months, it's going to be absolutely nuts, sir. Between mid-June to mid-August, the wives are going to love us.
Well, if I had a bet, it'd be Manchester United to win FA Cup, right? I mean, I bet everything Manchester United. I bet them to make top four, and I bet them to win the FA Cup because, I mean,
maybe you should.
Plus 800, I think it's between the fact that everyone thinks Chelsea's so good is what bothers me. You know, it's like Chelsea next year, yeah, with Werner. I mean, they got some things going, but like right now, we beat them away EFL. We did the double on them, and for some reason, they're being ranked above us and all this stuff from the bookies. There must be some Chelsea fans, sir.
What about Shitty?
Hell,
-140, sir, and we beat them what, three times this year. So, United, let us be the sleeper dog. I would say pick up these odds while you can. United are going to win the lot.
Okay, prediction. I'm holding you to this, sir. Where do we finish in the league? Where do we finish FA Cup? Where do we finish in Europa League? What do you got?
Fourth place finish, and we win both cups. Cheeky, mate.
Well, call I think you an optimist. They might call you an optimist.
I'm an optimist. I'm feeling good. I'm bullish. I know it's ridiculous, and you know cups are tough. There's going to be all kinds of weird circumstances. We're not going to get home field advantage because there's no fans, but I'm feeling like the boys got it in them. What do you got?
I'm thinking that we don't make. I'm thinking we finish fifth. I think that we do not win the FA Cup, but we win Europa League. That's what I think.
So it's all left to August, just like a nervy August.
We'll be like, we'll sweat it. And, you know, it will all come down to August when everyone's fit and firing, and we'll just beat, win the Europa League, everything to play for, save Ole's job, get Champions League, do it in the most dramatic fashion, take it to the absolute wire, sir. I mean, get ready.
That's what my brain tells me. Actually, that's what my brain tells me now that you say that. And my heart says, like, no, we're winning everything. For third place. No. We're finishing third, getting everything, not losing that game.
I actually think it's probably more likely it will be a fifth place Champions League appeal, gives City 1 year ban, we get Champions League that way. And then we go in and win Europa League, to something like that. Either way, everything to play for. We will be here week in, week out. After every match, we'll give you a match recap pod. Sir, we got last segment here, United in the news. Odion Ighalo agrees to loan extension. How pumped are you about Odion Ighalo staying the next 6 months through January? He's going to be through the whole summer. Otherwise, we'd be going to these games without Ighalo. So what do you call it? Big win?
I mean, this is we could turn this into a whole pod. Right? We're going long. Maybe we want to save this for next week. But like the whole argument, should we have gone for Werner?
Recap pod. This is the we're setting records here, American Red Devils. This is a season recap.
We're going long, baby. I love it. I mean, I'm happy with it. If it means like, dude, as long as we go full force and get Sancho done this summer, I'm good with it. That's what I read from this. We're not going to splash 50 for Werner because there's other priorities, which I do think Sancho's above a Werner. We'll see, man. They're putting a lot of pressure on that, and I think it does depend on whether or not we get Champions League football.
Love Ighalo, hate the 6 months.
Yeah,
I hate the 6 months because I can live with Ighalo being our man for the next year, but next season we have to have a locked-on number nine replacement because we've got to be challenging for EPL title the entire season, sir. Next bit of news here, like you said, Manchester United are prioritizing Grealish over Sancho given price difference and potential relegation of Aston Villa. I always thought that we would go bargain bin because Villa needs the money. They're hurting. And we would get Grealish for like 45, you know, something like that. And that's not a bad deal. English proven. It's kind of, people are going to say poor man Sancho. But at the end of the day, if we don't make Champions League football, we ain't going to be buying Sancho. That's literally what they're thinking. That's where the money has to come from, is that Champions League revenue.
No, you're totally right. Like you said, dude, there are worse players in the world to pick up a Grealish. Premier League proven, especially if Aston Villa get the drop, he should be able to get, you know, be acquired for a decent deal. But I think it's going to depend on Champions League football. But if you know, as long as Sancho doesn't trade this summer and he's going to be around next summer and you picked up Grealish, I could live with that. Kept everybody else. Pogba kept around. And that was like...
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's not a bad team to go for it. But
we really just need a right winger. Honestly, if Pogba stays, we just need someone who can play right wing. So, I mean, we're talking about Kai Havertz as well. That's someone that we've been linked to. But again, who knows how it's going to play out or what's going to go down. They can always do a delayed deal with Sancho if they delay the payments or do a big fee. Who knows how they're going to work it out. But, sir, that's been the pod season recap so far in the books. Marathon podcast, the wives, I know they're waiting to kill us with our
Sunday plans.
Pod studio, they're like, where are you at? This one over. We're dead men walking. Hey, but you know what? Pod never sleeps, sir. Pod never sleeps.
Pod never sleeps, and this is a good warm-up because we got like 4 games in 11 days. So that's the cadence we're basically setting for the rest of the summer. They'll get over it. They always do. Shout-out to our wives. But we got some other shout-outs, sir. Top downloads. Should I take us through it?
Absolutely. Last 7 days.
Sir, number 1, how you doing? How you doing? Granite City, Illinois. Number 2, Highland Park, Illinois. And number 3, Lee's Summit, Missouri. So you want me to keep going?
Absolutely.
Number 4, Singapore. Appreciate you. Florence, South Carolina. Pittsburgh, PA. Oslo, Norway. Welcome back to the board. Appreciate you. Shire. Houston, Texas. Seattle, Washington. And last but not least, Sollentuna, Sweden. How you doing, fellas and ladies? We appreciate all the downloads. Another great week. Boys and girls, football's coming back. How do you feel?
I mean, it's unbelievable. Can't wait. If you want to support the podcast, AmericanRedLevels.com, click on store. Drop a review. Help us out. We got 2 of us just running this, running the board.
Can you tell?
Football's back. Hey, we make for in audio engineering. We make it up in passion, sir. Just raw fan passion. How good does it feel?
Always at the wheel.